Our first lesson today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, from page 180 in our Pew Bible in the First Testament section. Deuteronomy is a series of speeches given by Moses before the people enter the Promised Land. Listen now for a word from God as we listen to the words of Deuteronomy. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, "Today I declare the Lord your God, today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now, I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. Then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, from Luke chapter 4, is on page 61 of the New Testament section of our Pew Bible, the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. This is the traditional gospel reading for the first Sunday in Lent, whichever year of the lectionary we happen to be on, whether it's A, B, or C. It's always the story from whichever gospel. And so this year it's Luke. Listen now for a word from God. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been in ministry for 13 years now, 13 years of ordained ministry, and a few more years before that. And a lot of my personal dreams have come true at this point. I've been in worship services where we had a jazz band, check mark. I've been in worship services led by a bluegrass quartet, check mark. When I came here, I got to do chapel with two-year-olds and three-year-olds and four-year-olds and try to impart to them the wisdom of our tradition, and they didn't listen. And then I talked about Minions from Despicable Me, and they paid attention. Check mark. But I've been working on a dream for several years, and maybe sometime in the next few years it'll come true. And that is for me to offer a class here called The Theology of Denzel Washington. And at this class, I might show this movie, Training Day. Here's the trailer for the movie Training Day. Now, I have to tell you, as they're teeing it up, the trailer hasn't weathered well. The movie's weathered better than the trailer has.
In the next 24 hours, you will learn about the streets, about the choices that will force a dedicated cop over the edge, all in the name of good. In the next 24 hours, the only thing more dangerous than the line being crossed.
Today's a training day, Officer Lloyd. Good chance to give you a little taste of reality. You think you can handle it?
Is the cop who has crossed it.
I will do anything you want me to do.
Will you? We'll see.
Judges have handed out over 15,000 man years of incarceration time based on my investigation. You got today and today only to show me who and what you made of. You hear me? That's it. That's what I'm talking about. First day on the job, you hit a $3 million seizure.
Police officer, get away from the girl!
No, we're not racking up arrest today.
You let him go.
What more do you want?
I want injustice.
Is that not justice?
That's street justice.
What's wrong with street justice?
Oh, just let the animals wipe themselves out.
God will.
You can't be like this.
Open your eyes. Can't you see?
Police, we got a search warrant.
You ain't no police.
I didn't sign up for this.
You think I'm crazy, right? We communicate and talk in a second. Say.
You think you're a road cop?
There's a lot of things on these streets, boy. Good things and bad things, too.
There's some profoundly evil people walking the streets freely right now.
I'm the police! King Kong ain't got nothing on me!
You never know, that's the point.
Wow, Training Day. So for some of us, that's all we need. Just that 2 minutes, that's enough Training Day. Don't need any more. Just remember, though, Denzel Washington won the Oscar for that performance. Great. A powerful movie about temptation. The whole film is a negotiation between Ethan Hawke's character and Denzel Washington's character. It's a negotiation of temptation. And Hoyt, as the officer who wants to be a part of this narcotics team, has to figure out what to do and the choices he has to make between good and evil, as the line between good and evil and right and wrong seems to be shifting in front of him all through that 2 hours and 7 minutes or whatever. It's a fascinating movie about temptation. We all face temptations all the time. Last week we talked about our temptation for if a little bit is good, a lot is better. That's a temptation we face sometimes, the temptation for more. But that's not the temptation all of us face. Some of us face the temptation of being prideful. You know, we feel like we're the only one who can help. I'm the only one who can help. Deep down, what we're saying is that my love will save you. We're the savior. We're tempted to be the savior, or we're tempted to be the martyr. Oh, no, you go ahead. You guys have the last piece. I'll do without. Well, that's a temptation of being prideful. Some of us deal with anger in different ways, and so we're tempted to be angry, either to blow our tops or to simmer in our anger until it's too much, or to be passive aggressive. We're tempted to deal with anger. Today's gospel lesson, we see a great range of temptations that Jesus faces, and they're temptations we face. So if you haven't already, get your Bibles out, and we'll just go over those. I was tempted to say real quick, but I'll take as long as I like. And because it's fascinating. This is a fascinating story, and it keeps coming back. And some of the gospel writers switch the order that Jesus faces these temptations to deal with their own, you know, what they want to put forward. So Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, if Luke could put Holy Spirit in every line, he would. The other word he likes to use a lot is Jerusalem. He likes to say Jerusalem, and he likes to say Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's in the wilderness for 40 days. He ate nothing, it says, and when he was famished, then the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. This is a temptation to be efficient. If you are the Son of God and you've been out here for 40 days and you're hungry, hey, take this stone and turn it into a cronut, a delicious combination of croissant and donut. If you're hungry, don't just keep going on like this. Be efficient, Son of God. Get some food. If you are the Son of God and your ministry is for care and compassion and you want to feed hungry people, then Son of God, make it happen. Turn every pebble underneath the hungry into, as Sam said this morning, tricks and Cheerios that they might just scoop it up and be fed. Be efficient. Stop playing at it if you're the Son of God. We have friends in town from Louisville, and I've been thinking about Louisville, Kentucky for the last couple days, and I remember there was a Franklin Covey store in the mall in Louisville. And if you don't know Franklin Covey, they're the people that they maybe didn't invent planners, but they took them to the next level. So you go in the Stephen Covey store, the Franklin Covey store, and there are the books, The Seven Habits of Highly Annoying People, that's there. And then there's all these planners, big planners and small planners, briefcase size planners, and there's month at a glance, week at a glance, inspirational page inserts, to-do list page inserts with Far Side Comics. It's amazing. All the planning you could do. You could be so efficient. You wouldn't have to work ever again. You just plan. Temptation to be efficient. My wallet just groaned when I walk in that store. It's so exciting to be efficient. That's the temptation. But Jesus says, it is written. Let's see what he says. I think I know, but I when I read from memory, it doesn't work always. Jesus answered him, it is written, one does not live by bread alone. And we remember the rest of the phrase, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God. This is Jesus saying no to the temptation to be efficient, and instead recognizing that we're called to be faithful. We're not called to be efficient. You and I are called to be faithful. We're not called to be successful, as great as success might be. We're called to be faithful. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am obviously a pastor and a preacher, but I feel like I've missed a calling to be a graffiti artist. Whenever I see the trains go by, and I see, you know, words spray painted on the trains, I feel a kinship to the people that spray painted those words, and I miss them. I've never met them, but I miss them. And I think that started when I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, because I would drive along I-70, and on the overpasses, I would see the pillars on the overpasses. Somebody spray painted the words, "Trust Jesus." It was in kind of a blue color between royal blue and navy blue, and it was always in the same hand, "Trust Jesus." I remember one day I saw it, and I thought, "Oh, that's nice." And I kept driving, and I saw it again, "Trust Jesus." And I kept driving, and then I saw it a third time, but this time somebody tried to remove the T so that it would say, "Rust Jesus," but that doesn't make any sense. I could still see what it said. You and I, we're called not to be efficient or to be successful. We're called to trust. We're called to trust in Jesus just like Jesus trusted in God. And so Jesus, since he is the Son of God, he's not efficient. He's faithful. He's obedient. He listens. And so he says, one does not live by bread alone. One is dependent upon God. One is faithful. Well, that didn't work, so then the devil leads him up and shows him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world and says, "To you I will give the glory of all these kingdoms. If you will just worship me, it will all be yours." This is the temptation to power, to be powerful. Oh, how good it would be to be powerful and do anything you want, whenever you want. I remember when I was a little kid, my mom and I were in an argument, and I said, I didn't hear my voice when I said it, but I said, "I just want to do what I want, when I want, anytime I want." "Yes," she said, "and that's the problem." Oh, looking back, yeah, she's right. We want to be powerful. It's a temptation to be powerful. So what does Jesus say? He says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Jesus is responding with quotes from Deuteronomy. We read the first lesson from Deuteronomy. If you didn't catch on to that phrase, "the Lord your God, the Lord your God," that is a Deuteronomistic phrase. And in that little phrase, it tells you who you are and who God is, and the relationship between. God is God and you are not. And so when Jesus responds, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him," Jesus is refuting this temptation to power. And instead, he's recognizing this call to humility, that we're called to be humble. Not to be a doormat, to just let the world wipe their feet on us. That's not what humility is. What humility is something that the rabbis talked about, that we want to imagine that there are two slips of paper, and they're in our pockets. And on one slip of paper, when we pull it out and read it, it says, "For you, the entire universe was created." Pretty nice. Feels good. You put that back in. And then there's another slip of paper, and you pull that out, and it says, "Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Huh. Humility is recognizing that we're called to live between the truths of both of those pieces of paper. Remember, you are created in the image of God. You are a child of God. You are special. Remember, but remember, so is everyone else. You're not that special. So this is the reality of what it means to be humble. Since Jesus is the Son of God, he lives a life of humility, not a life of power. This is what he has accepted as his calling. Well, how frustrating. So the devil tries to do a little better and improves. The devil takes him to Jerusalem. Ah, Luke got it in. Takes him to Jerusalem and places him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." See, the devil caught on to Jesus quoting the scripture. So the devil quotes a little scripture too. "He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. A little Psalms, pretty nice. This is the temptation to be spectacular. The devil is tempting Jesus to be spectacular, to make a spectacle. Go ahead, Jesus, and throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, because it says in Scripture that God will send the angels to bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Be spectacular. Don't be in the chorus. Step out. Be a soloist. Be the star player. Forget the rest of the team. Be spectacular. Give them the old razzle-dazzle. This is the most American of all temptations. We love spectacle. What else is reality television if not spectacle? What else is American politics if not spectacle? We love the spectacular. And so Jesus hears this temptation to be spectacular and how tempting it would be. But he says no. And instead he says, it is written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus refutes this temptation to be spectacular. But what is he doing instead? It takes a little bit of work to figure this out. And in my thinking about Jesus, who he is and what he does, what I see him doing in the gospel and his ministry, I don't see him being spectacular and being out front for no reason at all. Instead, Jesus calls other people to him. He invites people to come on this journey with him. He calls disciples. He teaches disciples. He gathers people around him to teach and preach and to heal, to offer compassion. Jesus is about creating relationships and connection. Even when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, what we're remembering is that Jesus, through his whole life and even in his death, is gathering people to himself to nourish them. He was giving himself away from the beginning, feeding people on his very body and blood in each moment, all the way up to his last. Even now, Jesus feeds others on himself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Jesus a man for others. He's not spectacular. He's about connection. He's about communion. That's his calling as the Son of God, to create through the power of the Holy Spirit that kind of connection with us. So it's Lent and we're thinking about fasting. We're very sad that the heart has no candies in it, but instead it has a note that reads, have a holy Lent. We're thinking about fasting, and so we go to Shannon Jung as kind of a source for some of the Christian disciplines of enjoyment from his book, Sharing Food. And this is what, there's a little better picture of Shannon. He doesn't look maybe so goofy as the picture last week. This is like his Olin Mills church directory picture. No dog in it, though, so he can't be a member of this church. But go ahead to the next slide. Fasting. So Shannon says, fasting offers us the possibility of being empty enough to experience being filled with God's love. And that applies to any kind of fasting, fasting from food, fasting from TV, fasting from gossip, fasting from whatever. Fasting allows us to be dependent, to recognize our dependence on God. And then he says that there are two curative powers of fasting. The first has to do with the awareness of our limits and our dependence on God. And then the second has to do with a sense of penitence and a desire for transformation. So I think what Shannon is pointing to is that when we fast, whether it's from food or from anything, for a period of time, we really recognize who we are. We recognize that we're wholly dependent upon God in every way. And as we recognize that, as we recognize our dependence, we also recognize our brokenness. So that Recognition of dependence leads us to a recognition of penitence, that we're broken, that we've sinned before God and before our neighbor. That leads us to confession. We confess our sins in a moment, in a split second, where we confess our sins to God. God knows. And that confession leads us to forgiveness and then to transformation. When we recognize that we've sinned before God, we recognize we don't want to keep doing that. And we begin the journey of transformation, of making changes in our own lives, in our own minds and hearts. We start this turn toward God and toward others. This is what fasting can offer us. Shannon says in his book that fasting may be the one Christian practice we as Americans need more than any other. We just don't understand doing less of something in our country. We don't understand voluntarily doing less. We understand doing more, but not doing less. And so fasting is something for us to think about. The three practices of Lent are almsgiving, giving money to the poor, prayer, checkmark, and fasting. My hope for us is that as we give up something for Lent, or as we engage in fasting, we might recognize our dependence on God. We might recognize the temptations in our lives to do more, be more efficient. Whatever temptations you face, you might recognize them, and that you might hear the still small voice calling you to obedience, to faithfulness, to connection to God and to others. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we give you thanks for this time together. We thank you that through the example of your Son, we might recognize our dependence on you. We might hear a call to be more faithful. We might hear a call to be more humble, recognizing who we are and whose we are. And we might hear a call to be more connected to you and to other people. Help us to do that. Help us to do that together in Christ's name. Amen.